We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Not to scorn, everything with about 30, 30 threes or something.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of felt that. We kind of feed off that energy.
This place is amazing. Like, I really love Duke, and I love the atmosphere I'm in here.
Mark Williams, beast mode. Paolo, first half, he had the cramping stuff. Fair enough. Beast mode.
Welcome back to another edition of Crazy Cast. Sweet 16 bound, man. This is, can I do the thumbs up too? Does it let
yeah,
me do
maybe.
It?
Do you have a Mac, an Apple? Maybe not.
I do. All right. Work.
You gotta we're update good. That software, baby. Come on.
We're headed to the Sweet 16 after a dominating performance against James Madison. First and foremost, get these out of the way quick. Autograph, get tickets for next weekend's games in the Sweet 16 and hopefully the Elite Eight. Download the app, use code CRAZY, and you could potentially get super cheap tickets. People went to UNC Duke for literally $16. They went this weekend for the same price. It's crazy. Go to Autograph, download the app, use code CRAZY, C-R-A-Z-I-E. Also, go to Homefield and buy this hat and Russ's hoodie. Use code CRAZY, C-R-A-Z-I-E. Going backwards again. And use code CRAZY again. Wow, what a game, man. I need to tweet this out. Right, let's hear your thoughts after they won by literally almost 40 points in the Sweet. I mean, that it was just unreal. I can't believe it actually happened. Obviously, a lower seed than I guess you would expect. But James Madison won 31 games all year. Technically the hottest team coming into the dance. Very, very good all-around team. And Duke was just insane, dude. Yeah, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, it starts here. We're going to bust out the blue fingernail polish for my boy Jared McCain here. I was biting my nails for like 2 minutes of this game, so please don't rag on me for my nails looking shabby here.
No.
I mean, what can you say? A perfect first half. A perfect first half begets an easy time, and then we expanded the lead in the second half. Jared said after the game, you know, he was like in the interview, he said they were preparing for the physicality. They know they've been called soft all year. You know, so they knew it was coming and they clearly matched it. I mean, like I was so impressed in the first 4 minutes. I don't know that I've seen all year. We've seen Duke get off to hot starts again in some games like the Virginia game, things like this. I don't know that I'd seen Duke all year be as physical. Like no. We were punching them, we were bullying them right away, hitting them hard, taking advantage of the fact I tweeted before the game that I was worried, among other things, about the fact that, you know, they hadn't been calling fouls much in the second round. A lot of these games were being played very physically, and so I was worried what that meant, because so far this season there's been a lot of Duke like looking for fouls, right? Like getting frustrated when fouls are not called. Here, none of that today. Like none of it whatsoever. Even when there were bad foul calls, I mean, it helps when you have a big lead. It helps you shake those things off. Yeah. But even when fouls weren't called, they weren't like turning to the ref and doing the like, you know, like they were exactly. They were playing on. They were playing on. So what more can you ask for? I question JMU's decision to just refuse to defend the 3-point line to go under screens against Jared McCain, of all people. There were some very questionable coaching decisions from a guy, from a coach who won 30 plus games this year. And we took advantage, you know, we deserve all the credit in the world for making those shots. Jared really setting the tone. Tyrese made some very big shots in the first half as well. Certainly when Jeremy went down hurt, I was concerned what that would mean. Made no impact. McCain and Proctor played a two-man game. Flip did his thing in the post that he always does. Flip was fighting hard inside. Mitchell fighting so hard inside. Ryan Young, when he was in, was fighting hard. Sean Stewart fighting hard. What more can you want from a team in a game like this? JMU is a good team. They didn't play like a good team today, but they are a good team. This is the sort of game that I think a few weeks ago we struggled way, way more. But we came out ready. Credit to John. You know, in the same way that when the team comes out flat, I think it's on the coach in a lot of ways. In the same breath, right? You've got to say when the team comes out ready to fight, that is preparation. That is coaching. That is coaching in a big, big way. And we ran a lot of sets for Jared early. I think the first maybe two possessions were both things run for Jared. We spoke about last game how we really wanted Jared to get more action, to touch the ball more, to do more things. You couldn't ask him to do more. I mean, how many threes? I can't see it on the screen. I mean, he took 11 total. I mean, he took 8 in the first half. You know, 8, he made 6. And honestly, 2 of them were sort of heaves at the end of the thing. And you know, the last thing that I'll say before I kick it back to you. So I brought up yesterday that, you know, after the first half, where it was kind of a frustrating, or not yesterday, Friday, I brought up that it was a frustrating first half, but John went to the press at halftime, to the lady doing the so what'd you think of the first half interview, and he sounded encouraged. You know, he sounded very casual, and then this game we're up 20 going into the half, and they asked, and his first response was like, yeah, we let him off the hook some at the end of the half there. You know, like, I was like, okay, this is the guy I like. I like this.
Yeah. Right?
Yep. He doesn't need to be like Dan Hurley, Frank Martin level fiery, Coach K level fiery. But I loved seeing zero complacency, zero sense of we're doing well. Because you can do well and praise your team in the same breath for doing well, which he did. Exactly. While going, but like, we could do better. You know, I love that mentality of we're doing well, we can do better. And we played with that the entire 40 minutes and absolutely loved it. I'm going to paint these nails while you get going.
I can't wait to see the outcome of that. Yeah.
I've never painted my nails before. I'm probably going to blow this so hard. I need Jared on here to like advise me. Which one do I start with?
If I've watched my wife do it enough, probably I think the thumb or maybe the
people
pinky.
Comment in the comments what how I do this. Yeah. Oh my God, I'm getting it all over my finger.
Oh good God. Anyways, while you're painting nails, I'm gonna give a shout out to just JMU squad. My, like I said before, my step cousin plays on
JMU. Yeah, he tried to murder Jalen Blake.
Noah Friedel. Yeah, great season for them. Congratulations on an amazing season. A lot of high level players there, watch a lot of their games, and it was an interesting day to say the least. And yeah, the Jalen Blake thing was nothing close to Noah's fault at all. That was just a basketball play. They both made contact, and then
Blake. Quit defending your family member.
Right. Blake's just had a rough fall, and hopefully he's okay. It sounds like he's going to be, but that was definitely scary. Yeah, I think the biggest thing, the start, right, was huge. The way. Oh, people are saying pinky. Okay, so we got Ashley saying pinky.
Pinky first.
Uh-oh. We got.
Pinky or thumb, yeah. Dude. I did the opposite. I'm doing the middle ones. Oh no.
Oh no,
dude. This my ring finger looks janked up, and this is like my good painting hand here. When I'm painting with the left hand on the right, look out, man. My fingers are gonna be bruised in this shit. This is gonna be insane. No, use Color Street. I don't know what that is. I'm new to this, guys. I'm trying. I'm trying to learn.
Sean's wife said pinky.
All right, I'm going pinky.
Yeah, I think for me right away, and I don't know if I tweeted it out, maybe I did, but like hitting shots early, and I know this sounds obvious, but that was awesome, right? Like that helps so much when it comes to confidence throughout the game. Getting into sets that have impact on the rest of the game is crucial. So Jerry hitting shots right away, Proctor hitting shots, and then just getting in your own offense. And another thing is just a suffocating defense right away. JMU couldn't get anything going. Like their entire offense just ended up being iso ball at the end of the day. So seeing the defense come out and play the way they did, I don't know which assistant got the scouting job for JMU, but they killed it. Absolutely impressive on the defensive end. They're a very, very good offensive team. They have two to three guys that can go off in any given night, especially Edwards, and they just couldn't do anything. And so I know Grant Hill was making some comments about Flip's defense that just were kind of outlandish, in my opinion. I think Flip played a really good game, obviously got into some foul trouble, but it kind of seems like this team was waiting for March. And I was the first to say last week on our selection show that like I was nervous for this draw. A couple good teams. This team was going into the tournament not having won a game in 18 days, whatever it was. Obviously, it was two games, but went 0-2 the last two games and didn't look motivated at all. It was almost like this team was just ready and looking ahead to this. And they played like it, man. These last two games, this was like the team we saw when they were just dominating through the lower parts of the ACC. I'm not saying this team's going to continue to go on a huge run, but it is super promising to see. And it's, like I said, it's kind of just like, they're like, all right, it's time for March. This is why we came back, as in Roach, Mitchell, Flip, and Proctor. Like, this is why we came back, was to handle business in this tournament. And they have absolutely done that. I'm excited. It was a fun game. I think McCain hitting those shots was great, but Proctor too, he took a lot of shots and he has been taking a lot of shots lately. And to see his shot fall the way it was great. Roach obviously played really well all around. His situation where it looks like his pinky was basically like half out of his socket when they showed that replay was concerning, but glad it was just a dislocation and that he was able to come back and play. Yeah, I just don't think the defense is going to get enough love from fans and the media from this game. And it was just outstanding. JMU couldn't run any sets. Duke was switching perfectly when they needed to. Flip played really good around the rim. That was exciting. And now we get to sit back and watch Houston and A&M and see who we're going to take on in Dallas next weekend. So, I'm super excited about that. But, yeah, I guess for me, the question I have for you is let's just say we go up against a Houston team, what do you think would be something that Duke has to take from this game and absolutely do it next game because of how good Houston is defensively, besides shoot and make every open shot that they take, because you're just not going to get those looks if you play Houston?
Yeah, I mean, that's the answer, though, is we have to shoot well from three. I mean, like, there's no real way around that. That's the path when playing Houston. We can fight again the way we did today. It's going to be just a whole different level. Like, nobody in America out-physicals Houston, just period. Absolutely yep. Nobody. But what they do is they want you to shoot a lot of threes. Like, they're going to contest them. They're going to play a lot of pressure. Like, they're third in the country in, you know, turnover rate. They are going to foul us a lot. They do send guys to the line a lot. We need to make our free throws. But, you know, if we keep moving the ball, Houston can go through lulls. If we play hard physical defense, they can go through lulls. If we can catch them on a lull and make our shots, then anything can happen. If the shots aren't falling, it's just not going to be our day, because Houston wants to play a game in which the shots aren't falling. Like, that's their whole MO. They want to prevent you from playing your way. They want you to play their way. I don't think we can beat Houston if we're playing Houston's way. We need to make enough shots to get them moving enough to scramble. We move the ball, get some good looks, make those looks. If we make those looks, anything can happen. Texas A&M's a lot easier scout, obviously. Houston is just tough in a lot of respects. I mean, Texas A&M, more than any team in the country, just lets teams shoot threes over and over and over and over again. You know, they dare teams. They say, all right, you're not getting inside, so beat us from three. And like, I'm pretty sure Duke can do that. I feel pretty good about Duke's chances of doing that. Wade Taylor will get his, but like, I feel pretty good about those chances. Houston might do a little bit of that, but they're not going to let those threes go as uncontested as A&M would. Houston will contest. Definitely. Houston would rather foul. They're going to get in your space. They're going to try to turn you over. They're going to out-physical you.
Yeah, I was just going to bring this up. I mean, a little interesting tidbit would be playing Henry Coleman in the Sweet 16. It'd be stupid to say I'd rather play Houston than A&M. Obviously, they both present different challenges, but Houston's been one of the best defensive teams in the country and have two guards that can really
the best period defensive team in the country.
Yeah. So, I at this point, like, you're going to get a Texas team in Dallas. I obviously would prefer to see A&M over Houston, but I think that's the biggest thing today. We only had six turnovers against the team. That does turn the ball, or that forces turnovers at a pretty high clip, if I remember reading the stats right. So that was awesome. Like you said, the ball movement that we had today with the amount of turnovers that we had was super promising going into next weekend. And I think, like, this team playing with this confidence and having that going to next weekend, especially if they do play Houston, another physical team where, like you said, it was talked about all week, not all week, but it's been kind of talked about all year that this team's kind of soft, and against physical teams, they can't really do as much as you would like. Basically going all the way back to last year against Tennessee in the round of 32, like, just getting bullied around. And they made it a point today to make sure that wasn't the case. And if they keep that same mantra going to the next game, take care of the ball and not be afraid of the challenge of a physical team, I think Duke has a decent chance. And this sounds crazy, but if Duke can get by this next game, Marquette's a good team. Obviously NC State's there as well, but I don't want to look past that game, but it's not Kentucky. Kentucky obviously got beat in the first round, but like, there's no one that is like terrifying me on the bottom half of the bracket right now. Obviously Marquette's good and poses some challenges. I had them in my Elite Eight, but just as far as like matchup wise go, I think Duke could handle a Marquette or NC State. Not in the way that they did today, but I think those matchups are favored Duke in some capacity, in my opinion, at least.
Yeah. By the way, doing the right hand, like painting my nails using the left hand for the brush. For those of you just joining, I'm painting my nails blue because Jared McCain was unstoppable today. And I felt it was a worthy homage. I've never done this before, so I am not doing a good job.
What's your long-term plan for these? Are these coming off like after the show, or are you going to rock these this week?
I haven't decided yet. I think I'm going to have to take these off because I'm butchering them, but maybe my wife, I'm trying to decide whether it would be like good luck to have them painted for the Houston game. You know what I mean? It's definitely like us advancing. This is the furthest John has gone in the tournament. This is the farthest everybody other than Jeremy has gone in the tournament for our team. Job's not finished. I want to do whatever I can. I want to. It's like Starship Troopers. I'm doing my part. Karen's painting hers blue. Hell yeah, Karen. I'm learning. I'm doing my best here. It's gonna look vicious. I'm gonna do a reveal once. I probably need a second coat. I don't know. Is that something that people do? Do they do two coats? It just looks a little thin in places. I don't know. Again, yeah. I'm learning on this live here. People can advise.
My other thing I want to comment on is somebody brought it up. The bench play.
Oh no, this one's so bad. This one is so bad. Keep talking while I see if I can fix it.
You're good. The bench play tonight, man. I think an underrated part of Duke's success is Ashley says, yes, you need two coats. Thank you, Ashley. Oh, and so does Batania. Sorry if I'm not pronouncing that
right. Is all good intel. This is good intel.
Then you got to do a clear coat on top. My wife like puts hers.
Whoa,
She puts hers in like some sort of thing that like zaps them. I don't know what it is, but like it's got this like LED light. Anyways, God, we're talking way too much.
Damn, all these rules. My goodness gracious. I didn't know what I was getting myself into.
I feel like if you look back at a lot of Duke's games, you can see some trends, obviously, when they play well. And I think bench play being not only not just productive, but just not, what's the word I'm looking for? They don't come in and ruin things. Like when Ryan Young comes in and doesn't turn the ball over a lot and is playing decent defense and is active on the glass. And obviously Sean Stewart coming in, not fouling a lot. Today he fouled three times. I think two of them were a little bit touchy fouls. I didn't like that. I even tweeted out if he gets an unfair whistle, it seems like, just because like when he jumped like sky high in that one guy. And they called it a foul basically because he was up so high that the guy like didn't have a chance to shoot. I don't know. It was weird.
Yeah, he's getting the freshman. He's getting the freshman whistle. Like he's not.
They don't know. They don't know how to officiate that. His style of player. They haven't seen it anyways. So, but yeah, I think Sean Stewart coming in, providing the spark that he did. Ryan Young coming in and not that he's been a turnover machine this year, but handling the ball well, making plays in the defensive end, just not. Making sure Duke still wins those minutes when Stewart and Ryan Young are in, I think is huge for why they played so well today. Obviously there's so many other factors, but like going forward too, that's just like a small part of why this team can be successful and should be successful going forward. I think some people are going to comment that Duke beat a 14 seed and a 12 seed to get to the Sweet 16. That could be some sort of narrative when it comes to, this team
fair.
Forward, but it's fair, but you play against who you have across from you, right? Like you take, I think Coach K said it, and I think it's an obvious coaching cliche, but like you go into these tournaments as if they are four team tournaments, little mini tournaments, right? And you play who you get paired up against. And Duke did just that. It's they won their 14 tournament. Now they got to go do it again next weekend. But I have a lot of faith now in this staff. And as far as a game plan goes for a team like Houston, on like 3 or 4 days of rest and able to watch it back. Hopefully Roach's finger is fine and that's not gonna be an issue, because I know he's been dealing with, I think, an ankle issue all year long. So the healthier we can be, the better. But man, if Flip shows up the way he has these last two games and McCain and Proctor continue to do it, this team can play against anybody. They really can. And it should get Duke fans excited.
Yeah, Flip's defense has been outstanding. He's not forcing anything. He's playing. I think it was Rafter who said, you know, he's playing with joy. I do think that that's true. He just looks happier out there. He looks like he's having a good time. I mean, winning helps, you know, winning definitely helps. If Lucas had the scout, then Lucas crushed it. I don't want to take away credit because you have to make the shots.
There we go.
No, I'm just so baffled that this team that has taken away people's threes and forces you to sort of win on like these ISO dribble drives. I mean, like, it's got to just be because Duke is that much more athletic and big than, like, you know, they played all like mid-major teams and then they played two Big Ten teams. And it's not like the Big Ten is known for being overwhelmingly athletic either.
Yeah.
So it must just be like they didn't know how to handle it, period. Because I watched them a couple times this year. I've never seen them just like give up completely wide open threes time and again to people who had already made several threes so far in the game.
Yeah.
I thought that was really baffling, but you still have to make those threes in clutch situations. I mean, look, there's no getting around that Duke beat two double-digit seeds. It happens. I did lose that JMU plus 7.5. I tweeted before the game, I thought this was going to be a tough game. I thought we would win, but I thought it was going to be a nail biter, which is why I pre-bit my nails here. By the way, here's my first, it doesn't look bad from a distance. Hold
on. How do we,
it doesn't look bad. Oh no. If you blow me up, it's going to look so bad. Look from afar. It's not bad.
Hold on, let me get the chat out of the way quick so we can get a screenshot of all of this.
Look from afar. It looks okay. If I'm way back here, right? That's not bad. Hold on.
Keep it.
What?
Give us a cheese. There we go. No other. Yeah, there we go. Perfect. Got it. Thank you.
Wait, hold on. I can do a better look. I can do a better one. Give me one more.
Oh my God. You're getting picky now. Okay. Hold on. Got to get the thing up. Oh, there's Zion just in time to see what we're doing.
Yeah, baby. We got it.
All right, step back.
We got it.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Hold on. I'm
Hold on, let me connect my
It does need another coat, Ashley. I agree.
Everywhere.
Thank you, Aaron. Some good feedback for these nails.
Do y'all hear me?
Yeah. Barely. Yeah. You might need to get closer to the mic or speak up a little bit.
Your headphone mic isn't the best. If you could switch it to your phone one, it might be better.
I won't be able to hear you then.
Oh, okay.
What about now? Am I good?
I mean, barely. Just go. Just talk.
Yeah,
and
just
talk
give us your thoughts, Zion.
Hi, man. Good win, man. Y'all gassed up JMU too much for my liking, though. But, you know, that's a great win. That's one of the best games we've seen all season from this team. Guard play, fantastic. If you get great guard play in March, you will win games. But... Yo, I'm impressed, man. Jeremy McCain, I'm sorry, y'all. He's gone. That boy is gone. So it's tough, but you know, that's what happens.
Yeah. Were you in a suite tonight, or were you up front?
I just came from the locker room, but I was in a suite during the game.
Okay. Very cool.
Any inside info from the locker room?
Yeah.
Nah, I didn't stay too long. My phone was dying, but you know, everybody's hyped, good vibes, good energy. Hey man, we got Houston next, I guess. Wait, is Houston playing right now?
It's Houston and A&M are gonna play next. What did you see back there? You know, a couple of, you know, vague injury concerns. I mean, obviously Roach went back into the game. What about Jalen Blakes? Was he out and about?
Nah, he was nowhere to be found in the locker room. I mean, I don't even think Duke would have let that happen.
Fair enough.
If that's the case. But, you know, I think we'll probably find out. Or we may not find out about it. Duke has injuries as well as anybody.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jeremy looked fine. Jeremy looked me dead in the eye. Well, y'all know the backstory with Jeremy, so I'm not going to get into that. But I'll tell y'all later off the phone, off the stream. But good win.
Awesome, man. That's great. Anybody get a water bottle shower that you're aware of? Did McCain get bombarded when he came back?
I didn't see anything. I think they might have got showered. I don't know. I just heard yelling, so I'm assuming someone got showered.
All right, man. That's awesome. You staying around for the next game, or is there no more games there tonight?
No, UConn is playing right now. I'll stay for a little bit, but hey, I got to watch this game back. This is a game I'm going to watch back. Every second.
Enjoy the hell out of it, man. All right, man. Well, we'll let you get back to the UConn game. Appreciate you jumping in.
Y'all. Peace.
All right. See ya. Man, that's good news, though.
that Jeremy was looking fine. I mean, not that a pinky on your non-shooting hand can keep you out, but as far as like dribbling and stuff, that obviously that's huge. So good to hear.
As far as dribbling and stuff, yes.
I mean, I agree. But like your pinky's your pinky, right? Like, come on. You'd be
Was it his shooting hand or his non-shooting
hand? No, it was his left hand, if I remember right. So not too bad. Not too bad. But yeah, it's Clemson. I don't have the Clemson game on. Are they still doing their thing?
They are up 15 with 6.5 left.
Oh no, I had Baylor money line, Duke money line parlay, so that sucks. Oh well.
Hey, ACC. There's still plenty of time for Clemson to Clemson, but you know, it's so funny like how Brad Brownell is constantly on a will he or will he not get fired, and like coming into this season, everyone was like, this is the season where he proves it. And then they start disappointing early, and everyone's like, he's done the end of the season. Like him and Keats both. Yeah. You know, it's like so funny how the ACC needs better coaches. They do.
Just can't get it.
But I mean, shit, if you make the Sweet 16, you're not going to go anywhere. NC State's locked into Keats for the next 3 years.
Yeah.
You know, and they were bad this year. Like Clemson is locked into Brownell for at least a while longer if they make the Sweet 16. It might be – hold on. I'm going to look into this.
And we were so close. While you're looking that up, we were so close to getting Dusty May at Louisville that they literally tweeted out a picture of the Yum Center having a press conference all set up and everything. And then he just says psych and goes to Michigan. So if you want to talk about ACC coaches getting better, I think that would have been a step in the right direction. And now they're looking at I can't remember the names.
Yeah, Holloway from
Holloway and Abdul Rahim or whatever, or I forget the other one's name.
Yeah, it's sounding like Holloway at present from Seton Hall. I mean, Seton Hall didn't even make the tournament this year. Like
they were, they should, they probably should have.
No, they shouldn't have. who do they go in over? Because like I would have, like, but St. John's should have been in before them. Like St. John's had a better resume than Seton Hall.
If you're looking at who the committee had as like their first four out and so on, St. John's wasn't even close to that. So if you want to go by what the committee standards were, Seton Hall was ahead of St. John's. So that's why I bring that up. But
I mean, wasn't Pitt ahead of I would put Pitt in, honestly. Yeah.
But regardless, like Seton Hall, not a bad season. But him to leave that so quickly seems odd, but they're gonna probably throw a ton of money at him. So
yeah, this will be the second Sweet 16 for Brad Brownell, the fifth total in Clemson history. Yeah, he's going to be there forever. He'll just be there forever.
Yeah.
He'll be on the hot seat.
Any comment here, Russ? The ACC just undefeated.
The fact that people ignore Virginia is crazy to me. The fact that
that's first four. We said first and second rounds.
Yeah, but you know that shit is whack though. Like it's not okay. A perfect record if you completely ignore that the third place team in the ACC, the third best team in ACC play, shit the bed on national television, to a Mountain West team at that. And absolutely nobody wants to talk about it. And they're all like, well, they don't count. Yes, they came in third. And yes, every year they win, they're in second place or first place in the ACC. And then they lose right at the beginning of the first weekend of the tournament. Yes, that's always true. But we're going to ignore that and focus on everything else.
Absolutely. You know? I thought about this today. We, as in the ACC, don't claim Virginia anymore. They're an independent. They just hang around. And in the tournament, that we don't claim them. We don't claim them at all. We are 8-0 in the tournament. ACC hasn't lost yet of competent teams. So, yeah, we don't claim Virginia anymore. They don't play ACC basketball. They play Tony Bennett basketball, and that's not ACC basketball. So I'm done with it. We don't take them anymore. They're not a part of the ACC. That's all I'm going to call it.
But it does so well in ACC play. They're better than ACC teams for 30 games of the year.
Not when it counts. So we don't claim them anymore. I'm done with that.
Yeah, I think that's crazy. I mean, my thing that I was talking about, obviously, online that literally nobody wants to hear about is, Duke and UNC in particular carry a lot of weight in terms of the ACC progressing, you know, and usually every year. I looked this up. So since there was a tweet going around that since 1980, we've made a Sweet 16. The ACC has made, not we, the ACC has made a Sweet 16 every year in the tournament from 1980 on. Okay.
Yeah.
So I did a little digging because I was like, huh, that's interesting. So we have made 118. The ACC has made 118 Sweet 16s in the last 45 tournaments. Okay. How many of those 118 do you think are Duke or UNC?
Oh, I think I saw the stat. What, didn't you tweet it out?
You could give me a percentage. I think I probably did tweet it out.
Yeah. Anyways, go with the answer.
Yeah, 56 of them, right? Every ACC team combined in the last 45 tournaments or whatever it is since 1980.
Yeah.
They combine for 62 Sweet 16s in that span, which still averages like a little more than one a year.
Not bad.
Right? Okay. Not awful, you know?
Yep.
Then UNC and Duke combined for 56 in the last 40, right? That's closer to 1.5. So like it helps tremendously the conference performance when you have two blue bloods in your conference, which no other conference has. That's the first thing. The second thing is that conference strength, when everybody talks during the regular season about conference strength and like, oh, why are the quads this way? Why aren't these games looked as better? They're ACC teams, blah, blah, blah. Because they're based on how you played that season. It doesn't matter that Miami went to the Elite Eight last year. They sucked this year, right? You can't weigh past performance on present performance. And in the pre-conference play, ACC didn't do well. We didn't do well last year either, right? And I'm not talking about Duke and UNC. I'm talking about all those other teams, right?
Yeah.
Like
what
happens in the middle of the conference, the bubble teams, the low middle teams, the basement of the conference, that's where conference strength is built, right? So when you look at like, why is the Big 12 seen as so good? Well, you look at like Oklahoma State and West Virginia, and even when they suck, they're so much better than Louisville and Notre Dame and Georgia Tech and like whatever. And the third thing that I will say as it pertains to the Mountain West and probably the Big 12, I don't know about the Big 12, certainly the Big East, even though they didn't get as many teams in, you can't have teams losing to the shitty teams in your conference, right? Like the only reason the Mountain West got six teams in is because the top six teams beat up everybody. They won some road games out of conference, and then they won some road games against the big teams, right? And the committee clearly valued road games. If you look at like those bottom two or three teams of the Mountain West, they didn't beat a single. They won like two games in conference or whatever, right? Whereas in the ACC, Louisville can be a little feisty sometimes, even though they suck. Notre Dame knocked off a couple teams. Miami swept Virginia Tech, I think, and then certainly like beat somebody else. And so then when Miami sweeps Virginia Tech, well, now Virginia Tech is lower. Now when Virginia Tech beats somebody, right? It's a trickle-down effect.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it really is.
Whereas in the Mountain West, San Diego State wins some big games out of conference. Nevada wins some big games out of conference. Now, when in conference, Boise State sweeps Nevada, well, now they're elevated up. Now, when somebody wins at Boise State, now they're elevated up, right? Trickle-down effect. So it all boils down to like how teams can do in terms of consistency and how the basement and like the middle of the conference, those bubble teams, how they can perform. And this year, if Wake Forest doesn't lose at home to Georgia Tech or whatever the bad team was they lost to in the last week, they're in the tournament and nobody's talking about this because then the ACC has six teams in the tournament and everyone's like, oh, the ACC got respect or whatever it was that people were like, you know, demanding. But, you know, it always boils down to that out of conference play. That's like the first and foremost thing. And if, you know, the bad teams in conference lose a shitload of games out of conference to bad teams, which the ACC did this year, the bad teams in the ACC did, then those bad teams beat the middle teams. Now the middle teams look worse. It all spins together. So next year, this is why we always talk about coaching. If Louisville has a good coach, right, and they bring in, you know, some NIL, they bring in some transfers, that's going to help a lot. SMU fired their coach, which they shouldn't have done. But they have a ton of money. They're certainly looking at some very big name coaches, which would be very cool. They're going to throw around a lot of NIL money to join the ACC, which will be really cool. Stanford fired their coach. They are certainly going to upgrade in coach from what they had. It's possible that Stanford is going to be a little more relevant, especially given that most of the teams are going to have to fly across the country to play there. They're probably going to have a pretty good home court advantage. I think Mark Madsen is a really good coach at Cal. Cal's a really hard program to win at, but guys have done it, right? If you get the right guys in, it's possible. So you just need the good coaches, man. And the good coaches mean then you win out of conference games. And once you win those out of conference games, then you're seen as a top tier conference that year. But until the ACC starts doing that, it's a losing game in terms of trying to convince people when like one team wins two games in the tournament. The whole ACC was disrespected this year. That's bullshit. It's not the way statistics work.
Yeah, I love poking the bear that is Russ's ACC putridness and people trying.
This year is called death and taxes. Death, taxes, and people bitching about the ACC not being respected online.
Exactly. All right, man. Well, I think we have Duke playing on the 29th, which I believe is what, Friday? Has to be Friday.
I would think we're a Friday game.
We'll play Friday in Dallas against either Houston or A&M. And then if they win that, we play Sunday. So in Dallas, any closing thoughts here before we wrap up and bounce?
I hope Jalen Blakes is okay. I love that he tried to catch a body there. I thought that was absolutely fantastic. You know, Mark Mitchell almost lost that. He almost lost that dunk that he did too. It like grazed the front of the rim as he hammered it down. I was very concerned he was going to get blocked by the rim. He jumped from so far.
Yeah, that was impressive. That was very impressive.
We got our Sean Stewart alley-oops, including one where he caught it with two hands and then threw it down with one. I mean, that's sick. The dude's got bunnies.
He did power hit a three. Spencer Hubbard tried crossing up the big guy. And
multiple times they tried to get Hubbard the ball. I was dying laughing. I think that dude just fouled him just because he didn't want to get fried. he was right up in him, and he was like, man, if this kid like throws this up and it goes into my face, this is so dumb. You know, like, he's like, let me just get him to the free throw line. He'll make a free throw. People will cheer. We just need to keep playing the same way that we played today. It's going to be a completely different world, whether it's Houston or Texas A&M. Both teams fight so hard on the glass. Both teams play so physically. Yeah. So we're going to have some stuff to overcome. By the way, Baylor game is only a 6-point game now.
Perfect. I'm going to go watch it here. I think we'll do another show, whether it's all three of us or not. I'll be available and should be able to play or not play. Should be able to do a show. I think it'd be
Before next Friday's game, Ryan?
Yeah, why not a preview show?
Oh. Yeah, we might be able to do that.
You're a busy guy. I mean, we'll talk about it off air. Either way. Hopefully we'll try to. We'll do our best to try to.
I gotta get my my second coat on these nails.
Yeah.
Otherwise
for me, no, great game. Super promising. I think I said it in our Selection Sunday show. This team just wasn't playing well coming into the tournament. Didn't give a lot of hope, and I'll be the first to admit, like, I was going to be, and I'm still kind of surprised, pleasantly surprised, by the way this team came out and played this weekend. Absolutely love it. I'm happy to see it because they played like this about three to four weeks ago now, and for the subsequent or prior to that, they played this way against some of the middle of the road ACC teams. So great to see it happen again. Great to see Flip playing the way he is and how he is. McCain lighting it up. Just looking forward to happening again next weekend. Again, shout out Noah Friedel and JMU on a fantastic season.
Boo. Hey, you know, I wanted to point out two more things before we go. One is, you know, the 2016 team was like what we had talked about beforehand, that this was a comparison. And, you know, that team played a 13 seed and a 12 seed. But we beat both of those teams by single digits, right? Different. So you have to feel a little better that, you know, now granted, I think Houston is better than that Dylan Brooks Oregon team, but, you know, we'll see if we end up playing them. I definitely feel a little more confident. The last thing I want to bring up, which we should definitely at least address because we've already seen it going around on Twitter, is, you know, on Monday, I think a lot of dudes are going to enter the transfer portal from a bunch of teams.
Oh, yes. Yep.
Really important to bring this up because, like, I saw, you know, a couple people were tweeting about the Carlisle kid from Stanford said that Duke was on, like, the Duke had, what was the wording?
Duke
had
reached out. These are the schools that reached out or were in contact or shown interest.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah, reached out. These are the schools that made contact with me or whatever it was. It's some very meticulously worded thing. Guys, now I don't know whether Duke contacted Carlisle or not. I have my suspicions that based on common sense and reason, but I don't know. Anything is possible. But what I will say is we have seen many times in the past, both with high school recruits and in the transfer portal, the kids will just include Duke, right? They'll include Duke. They'll reach out to Duke and then include Duke on the list. It gives a little pop of credibility.
Yeah,
you know, it might be aspirational, right? It might be the sort of thing where, like, look, and again, I don't know what happened with Carlisle. And Carlisle's a good young.
This is just an example of, like, it's not correct. Using this one to.
If a player calls up Duke and is like, "Hey, are you interested?" and Duke is like, "No, nah, we're good, thanks," right? They might still put Duke on the list because they have made their intentions of, like, "Hey, I might be interested," known. And then you never know what happens to a team's roster, right? So if you just, like, put out there, "Hey, you know," but then I don't think that fans need to react every time a guy has Duke in the list, because I don't want it to appear to players that are considering returning. I don't want it to appear like Duke is, like, mass shopping, you know, on the old open market. Because yeah. I just, especially right now, I just don't think it's true.
This time of year, at least.
No, I'm and sure there might be due diligence for, like, filling bench pieces, maybe. My strong suspicion is that Duke will end up reaching out to experienced players, since next year's team will be very young. Maybe there are prospects that Duke might fall in love with that are underclassmen, that are raw talent. Maybe if they had a scout on them, like, earlier, like, especially if it was a guy that Duke had maybe offered before and Duke pursues them again, like, maybe, but, like, I'm a little more skeptical of those. I'm far less skeptical when it's, like, a grad transfer who clearly would play 15 minutes a game or something. I'm probably would believe that they would reach out under those circumstances, depending on the position. But especially while Duke is still playing, next week I just expect a lot of transfers to enter the portal. And I don't want to see all these Duke fans tweeting out, like, "Whoa, here's how player X is going to fit into next year's team potentially." Because the goal needs to be, first and foremost, see who we can get back. Yeah. I don't know who we can get back, but the first goal needs to be, hey, open up the safe for your Jared McCain's, your Tyrese Proctor's.
Yeah.
See if you can convince them to stay, even just one of them to stay.
Yeah. Right? I think as in me, you, and Zion have suspicions and have talked to people who there's been small conversations throughout the year of what players are thinking about doing at the end of the season. So I think besides maybe a guy or two, there's nothing set in stone yet. And a lot of conversations happen after the tournament. Conversations happen after the tournament, and that's when decisions are made. So when you hear, and going back to what Russ said, like, I'll bring up, I think how you say it's Khalil Ware. He was one, and this isn't a shot at him or anything, but I was told that there wasn't mutual interest, just his camp reached out and then Duke was included on his list. Now, whether he told the media that it was it or his camp did, it doesn't matter. There's no one's really at fault here. They're doing what they think is best for their player and their chances in the future. So, but with that being said, it's not on the media for tweeting it and getting it wrong at Duke. It's just they get told by their coaching staff, by their parents, by their camp, by their agent who has had interest. And that is always going to be within the best interest of the player. So don't take it on anybody. It's nothing crazy, but just, like, don't take it and run with everything. There was probably a dozen or so guys last year that Duke was in contact with in the portal that obviously ended up just not being the case. And so, yeah.
There were also players that just never entered the portal.
Exactly. So yeah, take everything that you see with a grain of salt. I'm going to be the type that, like, if someone says it, I'll probably retweet it, but I'm not going to do something about a whole write-up about the guy. It's just, like,
it's this time of year where this team's focused on March, and like Russ said, these players are on Twitter more than, or sorry, these players are on X and social media more than
they're on Twitter. Nobody calls it X.
Exactly. These players are on social media more than you might think they are. They're seeing all this stuff. And so blasting social media with, oh, Duke's interested in this guard next year, and guard X is looking at it like, oh, does this mean something that I don't know type thing. So just take it with a grain of salt. It is what it is. Also, Baylor is, now they're down four. Anyways, I like that PSA. We'll continue to preach it on Twitter until the season's over. And then when the season's over and decisions are made, then we can start getting excited about transfers. But for the next probably at least the next 2 weeks, I wouldn't put much stock into anything you hear about Duke being interested in players. And once the time comes where the season's over and we know that conversations have already happened, and then decisions are being made, you'll know quickly who Duke is really interested in, because visits will happen fast. Things will move a lot faster than they would right now. So just be patient with that. Stuff's not going to be decided for a few weeks. And I'm happy with it because that means Duke's still playing. So let's just be happy with that for now.
Yeah, I think all of that is good. I am just probably not going to tweet anything about people who are on lists unless, like, I think not to advertise for, you know, summer shows that we might do, or like April, May shows that we might do. But I think we might be more reliable sources maybe on some of these guys than what you're just going to hear. Because again, like, hey, if somebody asks me which girls in class are interested in you, I'm going to name the hot ones. I'm 100% naming the hot ones. Exactly. You know what I mean? There's no question in my mind I'm naming the hot ones.
Yeah.
And the hot ones aren't going to be like, no, gross, because that's a bad look.
Exactly. Right. That's a great way to put it.
Yeah. So exercise caution, especially like if you run a popular Duke account, you know, maybe exercise some caution on that front. And if you are interested in who is really interested in Duke, I'm sure we will have shows once the season is over. I also would say even after the season is over, I'm probably going to exercise some degree of caution, because I would not be surprised if at least one, if not multiple players, test the waters, right? Oh, yeah. If they test the NBA waters, they might enter the portal, and it might surprise some people to enter the portal. And it's not even I'm definitely leaving, but I want to have the option, right? In this free market, I don't really blame any kid for doing anything. But if, you know, a kid enters the portal and everybody on Twitter is like, fuck you, goodbye, we don't need you. Or if a kid enters the portal and then some other person who we're not actually interested in enters the portal and says, Duke made contact, and everyone is like, I'd rather have him than player X anyway.
Yeah.
Players will see it. Players will 100% see it. And it's not like random Twitter users will determine what a player does. Like it's not the case.
Yeah.
But it does impact emotional like things, and emotion does play a role in how you feel, right? Like if you're offered the same amount of money from Duke as you are somewhere else, and you're feeling the love more somewhere else.
Yep.
I'm not saying that it's impossible that kind of thing might play a role. So, you know, just tread lightly and be smart. And again, if you see like me tweeting about like, now here's a guy that Duke is interested in, then I'm going to be really cautious with how I tweet it out. So if I tweet it out, odds are either I know something.
Yeah.
Odds are I know something. I'm not gonna be loose about that, I don't think.
Yeah. No, don't blame you.
Boy, missing two.
Yeah.
Right at the end of a game with Ryan. We're watching Ryan sweat his money line parlay live.
Well, that plus I have Baylor in my final four for some reason. So, but it's whatever. My bracket's.
Why'd you have Baylor in your final four? I could have told you not to do that.
Well, I wasn't gonna do UNC, and I don't trust Arizona, so it is what it is.
I trust Arizona.
Anyways, all right, man. Great show. Appreciate you going along this fun ride with me. Show the nails one more time. Hold on. Let's get this up here. Boom. Show them bang.
You gotta like warn me. Like there are people watching this, you know. Like I'm also so tired. This is the sleepiest I've ever been on a live. But like, look at that. It looks that's not bad. I need a second coat. I've learned now that second coats are a thing that people do with their nails.
You're learning, man. You're learning.
Yeah. Now, what will it take to get Ryan to paint his nails? That's the real question.
Probably not that much.
Final four?
Yeah, probably final four. And then even that, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. All right. Yeah. Final thing, go to Autograph, download the app, use code CRAZIE to get discounted tickets to next week's Sweet 16 and possibly Elite Eight. Home field, use the same code CRAZY, CRAZIE for discounted merch because they're the sickest. And Russ has the hoodie.
He's trying to do an ad read while his money line is getting blown up.
I respect
the commitment to the money line or to the ad read there.
Yeah. Promo code CRAZY on both Autograph and home field. Appreciate y'all. Hopefully be back sometime before the next game. If not, we'll catch you after the next game regardless. Peace.